Okay, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5 is where we're going to stay today for a little bit. And when I was preparing this, the whole time, this sermon, the last couple of weeks, reminded me of my great-grandmother. And her name was Eura Smith, and all I ever called her was Mama B, because she had her and Papa B, you know, Mama B is married to Papa B, stands to reason, because they had bees. And it didn't take me long to find out that if you take the lid off of those things and start poking those bees with the a branch off an apple tree, they will sting the mess out of you. So let that be a lesson to you. But Mama and Papa B had bees. That's what we call them. They were wonderful people. But they were churchgoers. They loved going to church. Great people. But Mama B would get on the phone, and she would talk to all of her lady friends from church all the time. And I was sitting in there when we would watch her stories together in the afternoon, and I could hear her conversation. Well, there was this particularly notorious guy in Calhoun County, Alabama, in and around the Anniston-Weaver area, who ended up going to church where she went, and he was baptized. And they baptized back then in this kind of shallow area in this river there in Calhoun County. And they were on the phone that Monday. I remember her talking, "Oh, I can't believe he was baptized. You know, oh, praise the Lord." And then Mama B came out with, "I know he was baptized, and we need to pray for the fish, because apparently this guy's sin's going to be floating around in that river, and it was going to kill them all." And I was, you know, maybe 9 years old, but I remember knowing that that was funny. So Mama B was concerned about the fish. So this morning in Luke chapter 5, we hear about the disciples catching all the, and I'm thinking, man, pray for the fish, but not because of the reason Mama B wanted us to pray for the fish. We need to pray for the fish because the fish aren't fish. The fish are people, and they are the most important thing in the world to our God. And we have to, pardon the pun, get on board with Him. And this morning, what I want us to do is to understand that our story is a story about fishing. It is a story about nothing else but fishing. I shared this with my class this morning. Wes on the Facebook this week put a picture up there, and it's got a caption that said, "Religion is a guy sitting in church thinking about fishing. A relationship with God is a guy sitting in a boat fishing thinking about God." Well, this morning I want us to understand that we need to, in our daily walk with our daily walk in this life, be thinking about God. But when we're thinking about God, when we're sitting here in church, we better be thinking about fishing. Not the fishing that you're thinking about, but we need to be thinking about the people who are out there in the world that need to be in the boat. Because our story is a fishing story. Luke chapter 5 is, I mean, it is an exquisite opportunity, a living parable of the wisdom of God and of Christ, and how he knit together this ministry in order to help us to be who He wants us to be and to do the things He wants us to do. As Hyatt read so eloquently this morning, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee. The people crowding around Him and listening to the Word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats where they were fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boats one belonging to Simon. He asked him to put out a little bit from shore, and he sat down and he taught them from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets begin to break. What Jesus is doing here is he's, and I want to give you this, the kind of the whole point of this. What Jesus is ultimately saying to us is that salvation, those coming into the nets, those being pulled into the boat by God, by the followers of God, by those who would obey, that salvation happens by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. If we want to know anything that Jesus is teaching, we have to start with that if we are going to be saved, if we are going to be gathered for the harvest, if we are going to be in a relationship, a saving, justified, sanctified relationship with God, it will happen by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. By Jesus' power and authority, multitudes of people will be caught for eternal kingdom blessings by the followers of Jesus who teach the Word of God, obey the commands of Jesus, humble themselves, and treasure Christ above all. I want to say that one more time. That is what we're going to unpack in this passage here. In 15 minutes, we're going to take and unpack that saying, because that very phrase, because that's all in this, that by the power and authority of Jesus, multitudes of people will be caught for eternal kingdom blessings by the followers of Jesus who teach the Word of God, obey the commands of Jesus, humble themselves, and treasure Christ above all. See, what Jesus is using this opportunity, this happenstance along the way in His ministry, is that it is by His authority, that His power, that He will gather those who are His unto Himself. And it is by our obedience that He will use us to do that. Our story, if we are in line with, if we are in the boat with, on the team of Jesus, we will be those who are gathering people for His kingdom blessing. Here at Highland Hills, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate 25 years of ministry. 25 years of doing what God wants us to do, and the majority of that, the main thing, everything that we do, whether it is benevolent work, whether it is mission work, whether it is a preschool or a Sunday school, any ministry connected with Highland Hills has to be about the business of gathering people for kingdom blessings. If it is ministering to the brokenhearted, ministering to them to get them in a position where they can go out and harvest those in their care circle. Nothing that we do here is stagnant or static so that we can just feel better about being good people. It is so that we can be part of the harvest, the multitude catches of fish that Jesus has in mind. You see, fruitful evangelism, I mean real church growth that we're going to be celebrating next year, next week. And that's why I wanted to bring this message today, so that as we go into the next 25 years, we will know that fruitful evangelism is by Christ's power and man's agency. See, Jesus determines how He draws all men unto Himself. It is not by our power, my power or your power. It is by the power and authority, the calling, the drawing of Jesus Christ. But it is by us being willing participants in that process that it takes place. You know, this isn't just happenstance. Jesus is going, by the lake, and he sees the boat, and there's plenty of people there. And so he says, let me get in this boat and get out from shore. So Jesus sits down to teach them. Jesus teaching. He says, let down the nets. Jesus says, let down the nets. So they let down the nets. I mean, Jesus could have the fish just jump in the boat, but he doesn't. He says, you know, let down the nets. So they let down the nets. And the net is a metaphor for the Word of God, the Word that is used to bait, to draw people. And I don't like the word bait there, but for us fishing, you know, we don't really use nets. We use bait. But the bait here is the Word of God. It isn't just a clever jingle or a saying or a phrase or something, you know, kind of a gimmick. The bait is the Word of God that draws people to Him. And it's by Christ's power that we put that out. And it's Christ's power that is throughout the Word of God that draws all men into Him. So what does it look like? What must we be willing to do to be the kind of people who are in the boat with Him, who are on His team, drawing people, using His, you know, taking advantage of His power, being His agency? Well, the first thing that we see here, so He says, get in the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to them, first of all, He said, so at the water's edge, two boats there left by the fishermen washing their nets. You know, and one of the things that washing their nets, we're done. There'll be no fishing done here today. We're done fishing. As soon as they, you know, had exhausted all human, interest or ability in this activity, Jesus shows up and they're like, there's no point, Jesus, in going out there and doing any of that. We've already done that. And in our evangelism and in our fish gathering, how often is that the case? There's no fish here. The opportunity to catch is gone. You know, it's over. So we might as well not do anything. When we think we might as well not do anything, when we think that our ideas and our ability is fruitless, that's exactly the time when God can go fishing with us. When we run out of us, when we run out of our ideas, that's when we are perfect for the hand of Christ. So He gets in the boat and He goes out and He sits down to teach them. So what Jesus is saying is we must be willing to teach the Word of God. And I'm talking about at lunch, over coffee, at the soccer game, at work, wherever we are. There is no, and it doesn't have to, I mean, you take your time. When you think about teaching and you think, well, Shane, I don't have time to get into all this over lunch. You don't have to pack a systematic theology over Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about sharing your story and talking about God and being able to teach. But there's nothing greater in the world that we need more than people willing to teach the Word of God. Because nobody, please, church, hear me. Nobody knows anything about God anymore. I mean, you know, when I hear the post 9/11 God talk, it makes me just want to throw up. I mean, it is so utterly mealy mouth. I mean, it's just so nebulous and edgeless, and just God is there. You know, oh God, it's whatever, you know. And the Hindus and the Jews and the Christians and the, you know, they're all out there just together. Just, oh, God is here. God is what you want, and God, you know, it's what He says to me and what He says. You know, God is, you know, we have lost the God with contours, the God of wrath, of judgment, of mercy, of grace. The reality of who God, the God that walks among us and speaks. We've lost that. Because we've lost the ability, the desire, the the willingness to study and teach what the Word of God says about God. Nobody knows our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Nobody knows about the cross and what it means and what it does and the resurrection. It's just a chocolatey holiday. The power is robbed. We've got to be people willing to teach the Word of God, to sit down over life, teach. We have to be people willing to learn and study and internalize, write His laws on our mind and store them in our hearts to share them with one another. Jesus says He demonstrates to us we have to be teachers of the Word. He goes on. Put out a little way from before, He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. He's showing Peter, this is what you're going to do. This is the kind of people you're going to be. This is the kind of offspring you're going to produce in the church. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." He's saying, you know, Jesus is saying, "I tell you what, let's go out into the deep water and let's catch some fish." And Peter says, "God, Jesus, you hold just easy. We've been here all night. We've caught nothing. Second of all," and this is what's not said, but "second of all, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. There is a way to fish, and what you just described is not it." You see, the way they fished with boats and nets first century, and with the kind of fish they caught, is especially in this lake, and this is historically verifiable, so I'm not making this up. Not that I ever make anything up, but just go with me on this. You had a row of boats, and they had the nets in between them. What they would do is they'd kind of go out into, you know, not into deep water, but they would just go a little ways off the shore. And what they would do is they would put these nets in between the boats, and then they would herd the fish into the shallow water. And then they would kind of use the nets to beach them and then gather them up. And that's what they did. And they're these little bitty fish, like, you know, I'm not exactly sure what kind, all but they were the ones in these schools that would be in kind of the intermediate to shallow water, and they would herd them into the shallow water. It wasn't like you went out into deep water, cast a big net out there, waited for it to sink down, and then scoop it up. It'd be kind of like if I went fishing with Jim and said, "Let me explain to you how we're going to fish this." And he would just sit there and think, "You're not going to catch anything." And he's right, because I've proven that with him on his boat. But the disciples, that's Jesus. "We've already tried everything. We've already done everything. We've already been here. There are no fish here. And besides, the way you're describing to do it, it's not going to work anyway. Even if there were fish, we would not be able to catch them doing it the way that you're saying." And so many times in the church, we do it that way. So many times in our life, we say, you know, this isn't fertile ground. No evangelism can take place here. There's really, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody, you know, and even if they did, the way that we're talking, it's never going to work. We've tried everything. It's only then and only then, can we do it God's way, in His power. See, so often in fruitful evangelism, in real Christ-centered, Christ-powered drawing people, it's when we run out of ideas, when our ways and our conditions that we think are right, when that's all gone, we say, "Okay, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so." You see, we must be willing to teach the Word of God and obey the commands of Christ. No matter how ludicrous, no matter how countercultural they might be. I mean, could you imagine the people that were there? The other fishermen that were there that would say, what in the world? Hey, Pete, what are you doing? I mean, we were with you all night. There's no fish there, bro. Don't you remember? No fish. It's all fish. Where are you going? That's not... What a moron. You can't catch fish. Even if there were fish, you can't catch them like that. I mean, look at this guy. Wasting his time out there doing... all the jokes. You know, Peter, no wonder. You know, hey, you know, so-and-so called. They want their... What, you know, I mean, all the jokes. Oh, Peter's friends got jokes. Laughing at Peter. Following the carpenter. Hey, hit him with a hammer. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But because you said so, Jesus. You say, drop the nets, I drop the nets. You say, take out into deep water, I'll take out into deep water. You say, go where people don't go and evangelize, I'll go and I will evangelize people that other people don't. I will do it in ways, you know, but we've tried it that way. Well, you haven't tried it this way. We've tried over there. We haven't gone, you know, in the power of Christ. We have to be people who teach the Word of God and obey the commands. And you know, it isn't necessarily the way in which we obey the commands. We think a lot of times that we've got to be gung-ho and just obey it perfectly. Peter rarely obeyed perfectly. But God honored his work because it was within the will of God. And then I love what happens. Because you said so, we'll do it. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled to their partners. They came out. Everybody's boat was filled and they began to sink. Do you realize what just happened? Peter, his partners, his fisher buddies, they just won the lottery. I mean, a windfall, a financial windfall just took place. They caught, you know, in some estimations, from historians and scholars, caught roughly a month's worth of work in one cast. If in one day you got a month's paycheck, wouldn't you, and the person who gave it to you was right there and able to give it to you in the next cast, and in the next cast. And then if every sale you made, if every deal you made brought a month's salary, and you knew that every time I picked up the phone, every deal I made, it was going to be windfall upon windfall upon windfall, what would your reaction be? Well, work for about another week and a half, and then it would be just, you know what Peter's reaction was? Get away from me. I'm on my knees before you, Jesus. Go away from me, for I am sinful. You see, we could be the church that's out there touting, hey, come here. You know, we're growing. This is the place to be. Highland Hills. You know, God's blessing us and we're, you know, financially, stable and we paid off our building and, you know, we serve a God who blesses. Don't you want our God will fill up your boat. You come here and your boat will get full just like ours is. Or can we people who humble ourselves before God and say, I don't deserve these blessings. I don't deserve what you get. You know, Peter's reaction is, God, get away from me. You are more magnificent. You're more mighty. You're more awesome. You're more beautiful than anything I can ever lay my eyes on. Be away from me. We've got to be people who are willing to not miss the point of the blessings, of the windfalls, of the paid off this or the growing ministry. We can't miss the point of it. It isn't that, hey, we're doing something so right. It's that our God is so glorious. And every time that we find ourselves in the presence of that glorious God, it should humble us to our knees. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." You know what they did? Once Jesus said, "No, this isn't financial windfall. You're going to follow me and you're going to catch men." You know what they did? They left everything and they followed him. Because we've got to be people who treasure Christ above all. I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. I'll do anything you tell me to do. I have seen, not because of what it will give me, not because of the blessings, not because of the windfall, not because of all of that, but I will go wherever you tell me and I will do whatever you tell me to do because I have seen with my eyes and I have heard with my ears that you are glorious and you are all that there is to serve. As we go into the next 25 years of ministry, see, a church can grow without fruitful evangelism. Not a very good way to grow, but it can happen. We endeavor to teach God's Word, obey His commands, humble ourselves before His mighty hand, and treasure Him above all else. Because when we do that, then we are living the story that He is trying to tell. See, the story that Jesus is telling is not a story about building buildings or buying stuff or being comfortable or having all of the flash and the pomp and the circumstance. The story that Jesus is telling us is a story of catching people in multitudes by His power and for His glory. Will we do that for 25 more years? Will we do that? Will we teach? Will we obey? Will we humble? Will we treasure? This morning, the call is simple. The call is to work backwards from this, is to treasure Christ, be humbled by His power, do what He says, and then see where He leads us to tell others. This morning, whatever your need is, it might be to confess Christ, to come to walk an aisle, one of these aisles, and say, I want to treasure Christ above all. I want to start that walk. I want to get in the boat with Him and get on board. I want to confess Him as my Lord and Savior. Be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection to walk that new life. Whatever it, maybe it's to, I haven't obeyed. I haven't treasured. I haven't done, I've been in my own world looking for some material blessing, some God who is a celestial gift giver, and I need a real relationship with Him. Whatever your need is, we'll pray with you, pray for you, come forward. Let me know as together as we stand and sing.